So the 1980s was kind of my decade. I graduated from high school in 84 and college in 88. So the 80s were what I kind of think of as my formative years, kind of those age 14 to 23. And in many ways, it was a great time to grow up. But living in a small town in northern Michigan, it was not necessarily the best time and place to be gay. And I knew I was gay. I wouldn't have ever admitted it or said it out loud, even to myself. But I knew, even though I'm not sure I totally understand what it meant. You see, the one thing I don't remember about that time is having positive gay role models. Gay people, I thought, were perverts, serial killers like John Wayne Gacy, or weirdos who were rumored to hang out in the bathrooms down by the harbor. Gay people were rarely talked about, and when they were, it was a joke. In elementary school, we even played a version of King of the Hill that we called Smear the Queer. Although I was naive enough not to understand exactly what queer meant in those days. And the 80s was also the decade of AIDS, when so many died, when to be gay was shameful and to be diseased. At least that was the message that I received from the culture of the 80s. And looking back at that, it's no surprise to me that I hid my sexuality even for myself, that it took me until age 27 to admit to myself that I was gay. And then age 30 before I was able to begin to accept myself and come out to others. It always amazes me that other people were then and are now brave enough to be themselves, even in those kinds of oppressive environments. And harmful environments still exist for queer people today. LGBTQ plus people around the world, in our nation, even in our own city, are still being persecuted for being the wonderful and amazing people that God created them to be. We've made a lot of progress over the last few decades fighting homophobia. But now we also find ourselves in a time when we're feeling the backlash, the desperate dying throes of bigotry and hate. Now, to be fair, I don't remember my childhood church or parents ever saying anything negative about gay people when I was growing up. And that's because they didn't say anything at all. And silence is really part of the problem. It's still a problem in our culture today, 40 years later. It can be challenging for churches to talk about acceptance and inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning people. Silence often seems safer and easier. Don't ask, don't tell might seem like the best approach to many in order to avoid conflict. But our silence, or worse, act of persecution by so many churches still today, destroys the self-esteem of our young queer people. Lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth are almost five times as likely to commit suicide than heterosexual youth. Our silence hurts the youth in our communities when we refuse to tell them the truth that they're but the beloved children of God, created to be the amazing and wonderful people that they are. And did you know that LGBTQ plus homeless youth comprise up to 40% of all homeless youth, even though they make up 5 to 10% of the overall youth population? Our silence means that families are more likely to reject children who come out, thus putting them in danger. The silence and negative stereotypes growing up in my life very much affected my self-esteem. When I finally realized I needed to deal with my sexuality because the stress of hiding began to affect my physical health, it was a struggle to accept that God had made me to be gay, that this was actually a wonderful gift and not a curse. It took a while to get that, and it took some professional help to get that. to accept that I was worthy of being loved just as I am, that I didn't need to change, which was good because I already knew that I couldn't change what was really my authentic self. Silence, the destruction of self-esteem, the desire to put queer people in a closet where they're out of sight and out of mind is a sin. It denies our true selves. It denies the glory of God. When people are forced into a closet and the door is closed, it estranges us from ourselves, from each other, and from God. We can't have deep, meaningful connection through a closet door. And so the rainbow prayer by Kittredge Cherry and Patrick Chang calls out to God. Yellow is for self-esteem, the core of spirit. Out, Christ, you are our core. Free us from closets of secrecy and give us the guts and grace to come out. With the yellow stripe and the rainbow, build our confidence. Chang sees God coming out of the closet in the person of Jesus. Jesus, who is the incarnation of God's love, revealing God to us in his life and in his teachings. Jesus is the out Christ. And some theologians have even taken that idea of the out Christ and ran with it. One of many examples, seminary professor Ted Jennings, in his book, The Man Jesus Loved, investigates the idea that Jesus might have had a same-sex relationship with the disciple in the Bible, known to us only as the beloved disciple. And whether Jesus actually had a same-sex relationship or not, the image of a queer Christ is an important image. Now, it probably wouldn't surprise many Christians to see a Black Christ or an Asian Christ. Even if such images might make some uncomfortable, we can see the reasoning behind them. The Christ and the gospel message are for all people, not just white people. To see a Black Christ is to state this symbolically and emphatically, and perhaps we should also note more historically accurately. But a queer Christ threatens the closet that the church and the culture try to create. And for that reason, the queer Christ is important and meaningful to many queer Christians. The queer Christ is a way to both undermine the oppressive power of institutional Christianity, as well as a way by recognizing ourselves in the Christ and the Christ in ourselves, to know that we are indeed wonderfully made by God and fully worthy of being loved and honored and respected. It's in the out Christ that we feel seen and understood. And think of all the times in the Bible where Jesus struggled to reveal himself, where his disciples misunderstood who he was and what he was trying to accomplish. Or times like after the transfiguration, where Jesus actually instructed the disciples not to talk about what they saw. Self-revelation for Jesus was dangerous. It eventually led to his execution. Jesus knew what it was like to struggle to live as his true self, having to think about how much to reveal of his nature to others, when it was safe to do so. And to come out is to reveal ourselves more fully to another person, to let them know us in deeper and more meaningful ways. And it can be risky. It makes us vulnerable. But Jesus, as the out Christ, shows us the courage to be one's true self in the face of persecution. The out Christ is the source of our courage and our confidence, the reminder that we are wonderfully made. The out Christ is the core and foundation of our self-esteem and worth. Our sexual orientation, our gender identity, those are not sources of sin. It's the closet that is toxic to our health. It's the closet that's a sin. It is not living as the people that God made us to be that is a sin. Of course, the closet doesn't just apply to sexuality and gender identity. Anything, Anything that's an essential part of ourselves that we keep hidden or secret is a closet. It might be not wanting to tell people our child is queer. It might be not wanting to tell our gay friends that we're Jesus followers. It could even be something like a job or a hobby. It can be anything about ourselves that we've been taught to feel shame about, but isn't really shameful. And if the closet is a sin, then it's coming out that's the saving grace. Standing up and saying to the world, this is who I am. This is who God made me to be. And I am wonderful and amazing because of it. God desires us to be our authentic selves, to live our lives fully and truthfully. That is the saving message of the out Christ. And it's what the psalmist is talking about in our Hebrew Bible reading today as well. God watches over us always and everywhere, not to reward and punish us like some Santa Claus God, but to guide and to protect us like a parent caring for their child. And when the psalmist says that God has a plan for us, I don't hear that as some kind of predestination by a puppet master. That's not who God is. I think of it as God's plans for us are like the loving desires of a good parent for their children. And what good parent doesn't want their child to grow up and be happy and full of life, living truthfully? Of course, sometimes a parent's desires might be misguided if they themselves don't understand who their child truly is. But the psalmist assures us that God knows us even when we don't know ourselves. God created us. And we're often the ones who struggle to really understand our true selves. But coming out, that process of learning who we are and accepting how fabulously God made us, is the first step to growing up spiritually. We'll never be spiritually mature if we can't first accept our true authentic self. And that's why it is not a sin to be queer, but it is a sin to pretend to be someone we're not. It's a sin to pretend we're straight or cisgender if we don't actually fit into those culturally defined boxes. If we're really gay or lesbian or bisexual or non-binary or transgender. In his book, From Sin to Amazing Grace, where Chang talks about the out Christ, he shares John McNeil's three steps to the authentic self. Self-acceptance, sharing ourselves with another person, and living as ourselves publicly. And this is a process that we go through over and over again. We're always going to encounter more people to share our lives with. And we can always learn more about ourselves if we keep an open heart and an open mind. And then we have to incorporate those new people and new insights into how we live and navigate the world. Coming out, learning about and accepting ourselves and sharing that with others is a lifelong journey. It's an ongoing process that unfolds in different situations and contexts throughout one's life. We're always going to have more opportunities to reveal ourselves, to share ourselves, to let our light shine as God's gifts of love in the world. In today's gospel reading, Jesus asks, would you bring in a lamp and put it under a bushel basket or hide it under the bed? No, he says. Surely you'd put it on a lampstand. Lights aren't meant to be hidden. They're meant to be seen. And in fact, Jesus goes on to say that things can't be hidden forever. The hidden gets revealed. Secrets are brought into the open. Closet doors are torn off their hinges. And that's a good thing when we can do it on our own terms, because it allows us to leave the toxicity behind and learn to be true to our authentic self. And as Jesus also says, the more we have, the more we will receive. The more love we have, the more love we'll get. The more we give of ourselves, the more we're going to know of ourselves. But those who have not, what little they have will be taken away. If we stay locked in a closet full of fear, we'll lose our true self. If we do not have truth, the truth of ourselves will be lost. Coming out into our true self is a blessing which will give us much more. But denying ourselves is a curse which will take away our lives. And so let your light shine. When we let our light shine in the darkness of the world, we might just save not only ourselves, but someone else. Some youth might see our light and decide not to commit suicide, that there is hope. When people come out, they also help their families, friends, and those around them to discover the gift of God's grace by challenging and disrupting patterns of oppression. Some parent might come to know our light and decide not to reject their queer child, realizing that God is a God of loving and radical welcome. When I've heard people talk about what moved their hearts from a place of rejection to a place of acceptance and love, it seems like it's always the sharing of other people's stories that makes the difference. It's not Bible studies or logical arguments, although those things probably have their place. But it's sharing our light that truly matters. It's coming out that will change and heal the world. And so be filled with the courage and confidence of the out Christ and let your light shine. Amen.